Next item on the agenda is David D. Owen, number 11-0531, commission review on appeal by the applicant of May 12, 2011, decision by Lancaster County Wetlands Board to deny an application to install a total of 155 linear feet of quarry stone marsh sill and 165 linear feet of quarry stone revetment at his property on James Cove of Carter Creek in Lancaster County. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission. You just covered my first slide for me, so I won't have to read that one.
Always glad to help.
It's a teamwork. I love it. As the commissioner stated, this is an appeal of the Lancaster Wetland Board decision at their May. Let's see if I can. I love this new PowerPoint. There we go. Slideshow. There we go. last month, May 12th, the Wetlands Board denied Mr. Owen's request for riprap revetment and quarry stone marsh sill at his property, James Cove, Carter Creek. Since this is an appeal, we're asking the commission to limit their review to the record as you have it. I will show a couple of slides for orientation purposes, but the remainder of what you have in your packet and what you'll see on the screen is information that was provided to the Wetlands Board during their review last month.
Very good.
Just a vicinity map giving you an idea of where we are up here in Irvington, just off of James Cove, comes in off of the eastern branch of Carter Creek after you come through Whitestone. A little bit closer view, James Cove is here, going out into the eastern branch, out into main stem Carter Creek, and then out into the river. This is Mr. Owen's property from our 2009 aerials. This is Mr. Owen's pier's property. Extends from approximately here around this point to, you can almost see a tree line coming down. This is actually the pier belonging to the adjacent property owner. Just a little closer view of his property. These are the project drawings submitted by Mr. Owen's agent, Bayshore Design, Craig Paliabinski. These are in your packet. These are the drawings considered by the Wetlands Board at their hearing. They speak for themselves. They speak loudly. There's a lot. They're saying a lot, but if you look, it's relatively clear. Point 1, 2, all the way around the shoreline to point 17, and those distances are represented in these various tables. It's a combination of marsh sill, channelward of the existing vegetation and tidal wetlands, revetment right up against the bank, we transition back to a sill, and then revetment as it meets the adjacent property to the east. Project location map. This is a section AA, representative of the sill, located just landward of mean low water, didn't require a permit from the commission, and landward of mean low water, but channelward of the existing vegetation. Again, another portion, section BB. I don't know how best to go back and forth, but I'm just kind of giving you an idea of fill relative to the revetment along the shoreline. Planting notes for the proposed compensation. There was going to be some impact to intertidal wetlands. The compensation plan came in with the application to mitigate for those impacts. And now we see the revetment portion right up against, hard up against the bank, landward of the vegetation. This is the high water line. Mean low water would be out in this location, as is here, indicating some trees along the bank, some undercutting, some loss of trees. Let me kind of get back on the script. These are the project drawings, photographs submitted by the applicant. The applicant submitted 12 photographs to the board for their review. The Wetlands Board, unlike a lot of boards, the Wetlands Board goes down to every project in Lancaster County. They go down as a group. It's a public meeting. It's open for anybody who wants to attend. They go out and look at it. I don't believe this was the day that they went out. This was submitted by the agent, but it's a good low tide. You know, all of the areas are staked. So these photographs are in your packet, annotated. When we reproduce them, the color doesn't translate very well to black and white. But if you want to try to follow along with the annotations in your book, this is photograph one. And for instance, it says sill transition to revetment at this location. That's indicated by both the yellow and the pink ribbon. So at any rate, I'll just go through these relatively quickly. But these actual photographs were seen by the board. The board was on site. So again, this is not anything new. This is something that the board had for their consideration. Photograph one. Photograph two, the annotation there is start of sill, indicated by this yellow flag here. Photograph three, annotation there is sill alignment, pointing to this, and so forth. I'm not going to go through the annotations on all of them. Photograph three, photograph four, applicant's house. Five, as we're wrapping around to the south and to the east, up into the cove. Clearly it appears to be some erosion. Looking back the other direction. Six, seven, eight, again going south and then east into the cove. Looking back. Another view of the side of the house, starting from the inner part of the cove. We're moving over closer to the adjacent property owner. And for what it's worth, I would suggest that this is probably a lower than normal low tide, mean low. I would say mean low is, come on, where are you? Yeah, more in this location, not all the way out. And where it ties back into the adjacent property owner's bulkhead. That was the last photograph submitted. The application was basically a total of 320 linear feet of a combination of revetment and sill. The board, after consideration of the project, denied the request by vote of 5-0. As a result of that decision, staff received a letter of appeal from Mr. Owen's agent, Mr. Palyabinski, on May 19th, which was timely. Therefore, it's up to you all to review this project on appeal. In the letter, Mr. Palyabinski stated it's his understanding the board denied the request based on the lack of detrimental erosion along the applicant's shoreline. Further stated that the permit drawings and the site photographs presented to the board during the hearing do in fact indicate that the shoreline and bank are eroding. He also stated that the VIMS report, and that VIMS report's in your packet, it's in a different format than you're used to. They were having some issues with their server database, what have you, but in their report they indicate some undercutting. Mr. Palyabinski indicated the VIMS report endorses the opinion that the shoreline is eroding, and they specifically identified the severely undercut bank and exposed trees, and noted that the report was, and he noted that the report was read into the record. Mr. Palyabinski indicated he offered a modification to reduce the overall length of the project in light of the concerns raised by some of the board members, but the modification request as well as the original application was denied. The Lancaster County Board held their hearing as usual the second Thursday of the month, May 12th. Mr. Palyabinski represented the project, submitted photographs. Chairman Edna Revere read the VIMS report into the record. The report was sent to the board staff, as I mentioned, via email, so it's a different format. Later, when their server was back up, we got the standard format, but that's not what the board considered. They considered just the email attachment that you have in your packet, and that's item. Five C two, five C one is the transmittal of that report indicating that their site was down and, you know, what you're getting is our VIMS report. We just don't have all the graphics and so forth associated. So that is the VIMS report. As I mentioned, as with all applications in the county, the board members had all gone to the site to look at the proposal prior to the hearing and saw firsthand the condition of the shoreline. The VIMS report indicated undercutting. It also recommended against a revetment, but rather recommended a sill with sand fill and plantings and selective tree removal and pruning in an effort to get more sunlight to the intertidal area. Mr. Paliabinski did offer a modification to reduce the impacts of the project. But the board appeared to believe, I'm working from two different versions. I apologize for that. The board appeared to believe that that there wasn't substantial erosion to warrant the amount of riprap required. The recommendation summary stated that the preferred approach would be consistent, would be to construct a sill marsh toe structure along the shoreline and fill the area. Mr. Paliabinski then addressed the board after the wetlands report was read into the record, and he described the proposal and the drawings and submitted the photographs. Mr. Paliabinski stated there was less than 40 square feet of impact and described the proposed mitigation that was going to be on site, as you saw in the project drawings. He indicated that Mr. Owen's house is fairly close to the bank and that Mr. Owen wanted to preserve the bank and the trees. Member Wayne Cannon began the discussion amongst the board members stating that the shoreline is stable and he did not see anything to warrant what was being proposed. Member Sitnick stated she did not understand the VIMS report regarding undercutting and indicated she did not see severe undercutting. Chairwoman Revere stated the vegetation of the site was beautiful and indeed and indicated she did see some undercutting around a tree on the bank. Member Crenshaw stated he felt James Cove is a very protected cove. Mr. Paliabinski stated the sections marked by points 1 to 8 on the drawing were the primary concern. And if you don't mind, I'm going to go back to that. This is in the photograph. This is the applicant's pier. Starting just beyond the pier to the mouth of the cove is 1 through 8 before it transitions back into the sill where that tree was out on the bank. Mr. Cannon responded. He felt there were too many things on the drawing that were not needed and suggested a new drawing. Chairwoman Revere asked if Member Cannon were suggesting tabling the application, to which he replied that he was rejecting the present application and drawing. Member Crenshaw agreed. Mr. Crenshaw agreed. Mr. Paliabinski asked if he could offer a modification, deleting points 8 through 17. So again, starting here, deleting all of this proposed revetment and marsh toe sill, but retaining points 1 through 8. Mr. Cannon stated points 1 to 8 covered the area the board had the most problem with. Chairman Revere suggested tabling the application once again and coming back with revised drawings. Mr. Paliabinski said he would still be asking for points 1 to 8 if that were to be done. If it were to be tabled and he were to come back, he would still be asking for points 1 through 8. Member Cannon made a motion to deny the modified application as being discussed for points 1 to 8, as well as the original application as submitted. Member Sitton seconded the motion to deny, and the motion carried 5-0. Staff was present at the hearing, and based on that attendance and our review of the record as provided by the board, we cannot agree that the board denied the project based on lack of detrimental erosion of the shoreline. It seemed to staff that the board was concerned that the project was over-designed for the amount of erosion perceived. As with all wetland applications in Lancaster, the board members had all gone to the site to look at the proposal prior to the hearing and saw firsthand the condition of the shoreline at the site of the proposed project. While the BIMS report indicated undercutting in areas, it also recommended against a revetment and suggested a sill with sand fill plantings, selective tree removal, and pruning to allow sunlight to the intertidal zone. Mr. Paliubinsky did offer a modification to reduce the impacts of the project, but the board appeared to believe the modification to reduce the length of the project, as well as the original proposal, was not something they could support. The decision to deny was unanimous. Accordingly, based on staff's review of the record and our attendance at the hearing, we don't believe the Lancaster County Wetlands Board failed to fulfill its responsibility under the ordinance, nor do we believe the board's decision was unsupported by the record or was arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of their discretion. Further, we do not believe the substantial rights of the applicant have been prejudiced by the decision of the board. Accordingly, we're recommending that you all uphold the Lancaster County Wetlands Board decision to deny this matter and would remind the applicant that he's entitled to reapply in modified form pursuant to 1302 of the code, the model zoning ordinance. That is all I have prepared. I could try to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from Mr. Woodward. Mr. Schick.
Yeah, the modified offer, 1 through 8, was that keeping it as it was on this drawing with, you know, some toe sill and some revetment, not it was, so it still didn't go along with the VIM suggestion of the whole project, you know, should be a sill toe design.
Correct. It's my understanding that the offer made up was 4 points, 1 through 8, in that location with that design.
With that design.
And that merely, not merely, that points 9 through 17 would be, or 18 would be deleted. That is the modification offered.
Follow up, Mr. Schick.
Yeah, and do you have some, the photographs in here, you're right, don't really show too well, like 5 and, where 5 and 6 would be?
Let me do my best.
Yeah, because that's where the, isn't 5 where,
so 5 and 6.
4, 5, 6.
And the applicant nature. I believe this is the transition zone between 3 and 4. I believe. 5 and 6 is looking back this direction.
Right.
Where it would be revetment behind, you know, this stump. Again, red representing revetment, yellow representing sill. Red and yellow representing transition.
So what Vince is saying there is that there is some erosion here, obviously, we can see, but not to the extent that the revetment's called for. They're saying that planting in a silt-toe with some pruning would take care of that erosion.
Well, what they are saying is construct marsh sill / marsh toe structure along entire shoreline. This is their recommendation summary, 5C2. Plant marsh, remove undercut trees, prune stable trees. So it appears that they're saying that a revetment's not the way to go, that a marsh sill, where something is needed, a marsh sill is what should be done. That's my interpretation of their report.
Mr. Fox.
And the applicant is not proposing to remove any trees whatsoever, is that correct?
I would have to look at the drawing. Plan drawing. Trees to remain. Trees to remain. And I would have to, I'd maybe have to go back to photographs. Generally speaking, the trees to remain are flagged, or the trees to remove, or there's some way of indicating on site what's being removed and what's remaining. I believe that there would be some tree removal with this proposal. There's going to be trees remaining, but there will be some trees
removed
to be removed.
As well.
Yeah.
All right, and the major fetch on the site is end up 1 through 8?
If there is whatever fetch there would be northwest fetch coming down into the cove, and again points 1
okay.
through 8.
So it's not a direct attack. It's a sideways attack.
And I can back out a little further, but I mean this isn't even Carter Creek. This is the eastern branch of Carter Creek.
Right.
You know, river, creek, eastern branch of the creek, cove of the eastern branch of the creek. So, yeah, any fetch I would assume would be sort of a northwest.
Right.
Further questions? Thank you, Jay. Is the appellant present, represented? Both of you be testifying?
Yes, sir.
Would you raise your right hand, sir? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? State your name for the record, please.
My name is Craig Pajubinski. I'm with Bayshore Design. I'm the agent for this request. Mr. Owen, he's the property owner. He was not present at the Lancaster Wetlands hearing last month, but he would like to provide comments to the commission if the commission will allow it.
I think what we'll do is I'll hear from you, and I'll ponder that, because what we're doing is closely constricted by 28.2.13.13, which is not a situation where we will be supplanting our knowledge or personal beliefs as to how the case should have gone, but only to what the law says that we should do as far as our responsibilities. And I fear that to hear from this gentleman who was not there, that does not have anything on the record, may serve to only prejudice the requirements under 28.2.13.13. I'll check with legal counsel. You can go ahead and proceed, but I just believe that we should stick to the record and what is tangibly on the record as we move along.
Thank you. If I may just go over some of the photographs and the drawings, I can clear up some of the pictures that were presented here.
Commissioner Matek, is that traditional evidence?
Yes.
Probably the easiest way is just
is that correct?
Just the toggle.
Okay. So he has some kind of issue that would directly impact the accuracy of the record.
Okay, if y'all can just please look at the site drawing. I'll go through the photographs that were presented in relation to the project drawing and site plan. Okay, this first photograph showing, this is a transition. This was the sill as it comes back to the bank. This is around points four. This is four here, three of the four. You can see a little bit of undercut marsh and then the bank. Fairly large tree about 15 feet from the top of the bank and the erosion occurring there. This is on the northwest exposed shoreline on the pier side of the property. This is looking back at the start at point number one, which is under the pier. As Jay mentioned, it is an extreme low tide the day I did the field work. That was when these photographs were taken back in March. You can see a little bit of erosion along the toe of the marsh. This is the purpose of the sill, you know, in front of that marsh area. You had about 10 feet from the edge of the marsh back to the bank, so we wanted to preserve this because it's providing protection. Again, the same photograph, just a little bit different alignment back to point number one under the pier. Shaded under the pier, so the marsh grass is thin under there. There is a little bit of wash, so that was an additional reason for the sill. Again, you can see a little bit of undercutting of the marsh. This is a close-up at point number four, four and five, actually. There's the house, the tree. You can see the eroding bank, and this is where we transition from a sill back to revetment. This bank was proposed to be shaped back to about a 1/2 to 1 slope to get the filter cloth and a riprap along the face of that bank and try to stay behind the marsh grass. And this is heading southward towards the cove. This is a large pine tree which is situated around point seven. You can see undercut pine tree. This is the toe of the riprap stake here. We had some impacts from point six to seven. Vegetative wetlands that was proposing mitigated just beyond this pine tree. See the shading of the shoreline here. And this is looking back at point six, undercut bank, tree stumps as Jay mentioned earlier. And this is the return wall and the revetment at points eight. This is the marsh point right in this general area here. This is coming around back to a riprap sill at points 10, 11, and 12, coming back around the point. And this is looking back at the riprap return wall around the pine tree. This was the proposed mitigation site, right behind where you see section BB on the site plan drawing. That was the general mitigation area, 40 square feet. Okay, this is back up in the cove where we transition back to revetment. There are some dead trees and limbs that would have to be taken out off the bank here. You have a little bit of bank undercut, but basically we had proposed a small revetment right up against the toe of that bank. And that's the return of the riprap back into an existing bulkhead. But the reason we didn't consider a sill option in this backside was the shading of the shoreline and the desire of the homeowner to preserve the trees. If you had the shading, then living shoreline approach may not work. Okay, we originally had proposed 320 feet of combination of riprap, sill, and revetment. As Jay mentioned, during the comment period of the hearing, Mr. Cannon commented that there were too many things on the drawings and that were not needed, and then he suggested a new drawing. At that point, I offered a design modification which reduced the overall project scope from 320 feet of riprap sill combination down to 154. Which basically deleted points 10 through 17, and we're seeking the 154 feet in points. And this was the primary concern of the owner. His house is roughly 50 feet from the closest point on the top of the bank here. This is the exposure to the northwest, and this was his primary area of concern to protect that bank. So after I had offered that, I submitted the modification and attempted to satisfy Mr. Cannon's concerns. I'd also like to address the fact that if you please look through your meetings packet. Excuse me a minute here. As you can see from the meeting minutes, there was very little discussion after I offered the design modification. Mrs. Revere, the chairwoman, suggested tabling the application and coming back with revised drawings. Mr. Cannon then made a motion to deny the original application and the modified application. In conclusion, the two previous hearings to ours, it was agenda item case number 2, pages 2, 3, 4, and 5 of your wetlands packet. Mr. Dwight Tim, the wetlands board deliberated for a considerable amount of time and had the same concerns as in our project, lack of erosion and to warrant the structure being proposed. And in the end, they at least approved a portion of that project. And I feel the Wetlands Board was inconsistent in their decision on these applications. In conclusion, all I have to say is I hope you consider favorably on our appeal and please remand this application back to the Lancaster County Wetlands Board. In granting this request, we can hopefully present an acceptable application to the Lancaster County Wetlands Board that will also address Mr. Owens' shoreline erosion problem. In doing so, this will save Mr. Owens the expense of paying the additional wetlands application fee and also the designer engineer's fee to draft a new proposal and submit a new joint permit application. That's all I have at this time. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions for Mr. Pawlubinski? Mr. Holland?
Would you go back to photograph 4? Please. How far is the house from the top of the eroded bank?
Approximately? The porch is slightly over 50 feet.
50 feet. Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
And the rate of erosion at that point, do you have over time, or was that presented, I guess, at the original Wetlands Board?
We don't have a report like from the Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service stating what the erosion rate is here, so I do not have that information.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
And the question also is did you talk to the Wetlands Board, or was there a problem with using marsh toe structure at this point, other than the fact that the applicant wanted to keep the trees?
That wasn't really brought up as a discussion at all amongst the board now.
Because, well, I mean, you talked about, the VIMS talked about using that method.
Right, VIMS talked about it, but...
And then you had, and I'm to understand that you had said that the applicant wanted to maintain the shaded areas with the trees provided along the shoreline, which
right,
would prevent the marsh from growing.
Right, exactly.
Now, but did you talk, so did you say that that was the only reason why, or were you saying that... that a marsh type system would not stop this erosion?
That was the only reason I said was right. To preserve the trees, and that was focused mainly on the backside, okay. Not this side, not showing here.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Owens, is there anything that you have heard from your agent or from the commission's representative that indicates that the testimony they have been providing is inaccurate or lacks clarity?
No, certainly not.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks. Is the Wetlands Board present, represented? Burnett? Okay. Matters before for the commission for discussion and action. Please, I'd like to always do this. Because we don't have very many of these, but I think it's important to read. When the commission to modify, remand, or reverse decision of the Wetlands Board, the commission shall modify, remand, or reverse the decision of the Wetlands Board if the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities under the Wetland Zoning Ordinance, or the substantial rights of the appellant or the applicant have been prejudiced because of the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the Board are A, in violation of the constitutional provisions, B, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction of the Wetlands Board, C, made upon unlawful procedure, D, affected by other error of law, E, unsupported by the evidence on the record considered as a whole, or F, arbitrary, capricious, and an abuse of discretion. That is what's before you today, gentlemen. Matters before the commission. Mr. Schick.
Yeah, I guess my question is if the applicant was willing to table it so he could bring back another application, you know, more suited to the, you know, designs that VIMS was talking about, and the Wetlands Board didn't afford him that opportunity. You know, I know, does that come under the situation here that we're talking about to allow us to remand it?
I guess one could look at it a couple of different ways. That way, by begging the question, that potentially yes. But on the other side, I think one also has to look from the Wetlands Board's perspective that they have an application before them. They have studied that application, and now they are operating with a moving target at that meeting. Whether they decide to allow the tabling of it or not in the normal order of continuation of business, I guess, is what's to be considered. And certainly, the applicant does have the right to reapply, and if that's the normal course of business and that's the way that they conduct, then I don't know that that is a fatal error in their decision-making process. Did I have Mr. Fox and then Mr. Robbins?
Well, I note in the minutes of the meeting that first Ms. Revilla read the VIMS report to the committee. And so the VIMS report, as we have it, was entered as evidence. Also, near the end of the meeting, Ms. Revere suggested tabling the application. And Mr. Plablinski said that if he came back, he still would be asking for points 1 through 8 exactly as he had them. And I think it's clear from the way the minutes go that the committee was not in favor of the way of points 1 through 8 as because they didn't see that it needed that type of work.
And to allow a table would not change anything.
It would not change anything. And the points 1 through 8 were not being done consistent with the VIMS report. They were being done differently. So it doesn't appear to me that a tabling at that time would have accomplished much. based on what I'm reading in the minutes here. So as I read 28.2.13.13, it seems to me that we certainly cannot reverse. I would say that we have to take a look at the evidence, and it looked to me that that the committee did a diligent job. They went on site, they discussed it fairly thoroughly, they came to an impasse with the applicant, and so they denied it. It appears to me that they used proper procedure, and the engineer on the case has pointed out, they clearly have the opportunity to come back and reapply with a modified system and perhaps more in line with the VIMS report at some time. And then the committee can take it again.
Okay.
So I would be inclined to support the committee's action.
Thank you. Mr. Robbins, do you have a follow-up?
I do. I had a question before I comment for Jay, if I may, and I just wanted to make sure I understood where this leaves the applicant. Is he and his agent free to reapply in modified form in the wake of this decision? In other words, if they were to put forward another proposal that more closely aligned with the VIMS recommendation, are they free to make that submittal?
Yes.
In the form of the JPA to the Wetlands Board?
Yeah, the code allows that. As with any new application, you know, we're starting all over again.
I understand.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Mr. Robbins.
Let me follow up.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You know, as I read this, I think from the property owner's perspective, they do have some active erosion at the site. And so in terms of an appropriate outcome, I certainly think they ought to be able to develop a plan to protect their shoreline.
Yeah.
But as a matter of review of a Wetlands Board decision and looking at 28.2.13.13, I don't see a matter of legal or procedural error in the Wetlands Board decision. I think there was some debate about the extent of the erosion. Nevertheless, I think there is erosion at the site that's documented in the record. But if you look at really the heart of the VIMS report and recommendation, I think they're saying this is a low energy site, and in that context, and in the context of all the details about that shoreline, the most appropriate solution is one that's crafted specifically to that environment, and the proposed application was basically a different strategy and significantly disconnected from that. So I think. Ultimately, in order to be successful, there's going to have to be a modified proposal that more closely aligns with the VIMS recommendation. But I don't think remanding or reversing the Wetlands Board is in order. I'm hopeful that the owner and applicant can work this out with the Wetlands Board at that level through an amended process. But I think, as I read it, that's what I see.
All right. Further comment? Mr. Plumlee, then Mr. Fox.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I agree with the last couple of comments. I think, you know, in these situations, the local board recognizes the futility of tabling and bringing the same exact, you know, issues back before them along the specific stretch. Also, they were diligent in their review. The applicant has the perfect right to come right back the next meeting with a new project that had been properly submitted. And they were trying to make the point. I think the recommendations of VIMS will be a less costly project and will do a better job of maintaining water quality and the interaction between upland and lowland in that area. So I think recognizing that, the board made the proper decision, and as well as it being a very difficult case to bring on for appeal before us. So that's my position on it.
Further comment? Matters before the Commission for action. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move consistent with staff's recommendation to uphold the Wetlands Board decision.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.